So after journeying with Jesus the last few weeks through the opening chapters of the Gospel of Matthew, being with him there as he was in the waters of the Jordan, being baptized by John the Baptist, in a sense echoing that great figure in Jewish history of Moses leading the people through the waters of the Sea of Reeds from slavery into the freedom of the wilderness. Then Jesus goes off into the wilderness himself to be tempted by the devil there for the 40 days. Then he begins to make his way to this holy mountain. And then, like Moses, ascends to the mountain in order to provide instructions from the Lord. But unlike Moses, of course, who simply hears the words of God and is able to speak them forth, here Jesus speaks what is from his own authority, from his own life and his heart. But in order to appreciate what it is that we're offered in these wonderful words, the beginning of a whole series of utterances from Jesus that form the next three chapters and the Sermon on the Mount, we need to really remember what it is to be in relationship to God. In the Old Testament, or the Hebrew Scriptures, there are very central ideas that continue to emerge, continue to reappear. One of them is the covenant faithfulness of our God, that sense of the chesed of God, that we enter into this mystery of God's very life. And what does the Lord do? He wants to establish within us this sense of peace. It's no wonder then that whenever we begin the Eucharist, whenever we begin the celebration of Mass, we echo the words of St. Paul in praying for the grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit to be with us. Because that is entering into the very mystery of God and into the very mystery of the life of God. So when we come to these Beatitudes, which comes from the Latin word, that sense of being blessed by the Lord, we understand that this is what God's whole program of life is about. Sure, there are moral laws and structures that fit within the Christian life, but the essential purpose of religion, the essential purpose of our life in God, is to be blessed, is to be happy, is to experience the joy of the Lord. Everything else finds its place in relationship to that essential joy. And so here Jesus himself is giving us his program of life, of how we might find that deep blessing, that happiness, that joy that can only come from the Lord. And so as we look through the list of these eight Beatitudes, there are two that stand out in the sense that they share that very life of God. Blessed are the merciful and blessed are the peacemakers. Those two essential qualities about God, we see them there already in the list of these blessings, of these makarios in the Greek. This sense of being fortunate, of lucky, of experiencing that good news of salvation. So blessed are the merciful because they share in that very essential quality of God himself. They share in that chesed, that sense of covenant faithfulness, that sense of the mercy of the Lord. Because we understand that if we're able to set our lives about that, if we're able to build our lives on a foundation not simply of justice, not simply of getting what we deserve, but indeed of receiving that very mercy of the Lord and sharing that mercy with others, then indeed our lives are already blessed. And part of the truth of these series of blessings, part of the truth of the Beatitudes, is that they're not really a series of commandments. They're a series of declarations. There is a series of statements about if already you're beginning to understand your life like this, if already you're beginning to experience your life like this. You'll notice they're all in the present tense, but the rewards are in the future. The rewards are when the kingdom of God will break through into our lives. Not just when we die. This isn't about pie in the sky theology. It's about the direct and immediate experience of the kingdom of heaven right here, right now. Because this is what Jesus is announcing. This is why it is good news, because already in the ministry of Jesus, we're seeing the kingdom of heaven breaking through into our lives. And so we're able to experience this right here and right now. So those who show mercy, those who are able to experience something of that very life of God, then they will already find mercy. That is their reward. That is what they will experience and see. And those who likewise are peacemakers, those who are not destructors, but those who share in that experience of God, who know themselves to be created in the image and likeness of God, who know that they are loved, they have found their identity and their purpose in the Lord, then they're able to bring and share that peace with others. And so indeed they will be called the children of God. Two kind of related ones around that same idea are those who are pure in heart, those who are clean of heart, those who have not divided within the depths of who they are. They're not rushing about doing all sorts of different things because they understand the essential purpose of their lives. They understand what is truly important, what is truly central. And so they're pure, they're clean because they're focused, because we're able to experience what it is to be loved by God, what it is to give ourselves and our hearts truly to the Lord. The fourth one that kind of connects all of these Beatitudes together is the sense of, what do we hunger and thirst for? How blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness or for the ways of God, for the truth of God. When you wake up, what's one of the first things that comes to mind other than perhaps, oh my gosh, it's morning, or glory to God in the highest? What is it that drives you? What is it that calls you? What is it that motivates your life? What is it that you hunger and thirst for? Is it righteousness? Is it the ways of God? Is it the things of God? This is a great call for us to really examine, what are the things that we're pure in heart about? What are the things that really drive us to seek mercy, to bring and to be bearers of peace? Will we be the ones who indeed hunger and thirst for what is right, knowing that our reward is that we will be satisfied, that we will be filled? We celebrated this week the feast of St. Thomas Aquinas on Friday. And Thomas is an incredible mind and a beautiful experience of that person given over to the love of God and wanting to use all of his natural resources, all of his human capacities and intellect to bring them into the service of God. But one of the insights that Thomas brings is that sense of all of the things that we do that prevent this joy of the Lord, this blessing of God, from actually being lived and fulfilled within our lives. And St. Thomas says that there are at least four things that normally stand in the way of that beatitude, of that blessing, that we're normally driven after so many other things. We want to possess more. We want to have more material possessions. We want more wealth. So wealth is one of those things that normally keeps us away from the service of God. Some of us are also caught up in just pursuing pleasure. Some it's about power, and some it's about honor. And when we look at the last four Beatitudes, we see that all of those are caught up in that as well. The first Beatitude then is, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. The word spirit in both the Greek and in the Hebrew is the same as the word breath. In Greek it's pneuma, both for breath and for spirit. In Hebrew it's ruah, again both for breath and for spirit. And so some have translated this not as simply poor in spirit, but poor in breath, or breathless. Those who realize that their greatest identity is not in what they have, but in seeking after the ways of God. Blessed are those who are truly poor, not because being poor is a good thing, but because it allows us to be free for the service of God. So blessed are those who don't find their identity in what we have, who don't build their lives and base their lives on what we possess, but on the kingdom of God. For theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, not because for someone to die or to experience that loss. And again, in being through the floods in Brisbane, seeing all of those material possessions and all of that grief and all of that mourning and people just lamenting that near-death experience. That's not the good thing. But those who realize that our lives can't be based simply on pleasure, that we can't base our lives simply on the thrill of the moment. Blessed are those who mourn because they realize that their life is based not on pleasure, but on something deeper, for they will be comforted. And blessed are the meek, or blessed are the gentle, because they realize that it's not about power at the end of the day. It's not about how strong I can be, but on having that strength under control, which is that sense of meekness, to build our lives not on what we can achieve within our own strength, but understanding that it's according to the will of God and according to our lives being given over to the way of the Lord. And finally, we come to the last one. Blessed are those who suffer. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, because they realize that their lives don't have to be based on the honor with which we can hold for ourselves. That we realize that we can live our lives according to the way of God, according to what God thinks about us, is not what the world will declare about us. The way of Jesus, the way of joy, the way of hope, the way of blessing is indeed the path that brings us into that fullness of life. the Lord gives us these Beatitudes today to provide for us a way of living, to provide for us an example of how to live our lives in fulfillment of the will of God. Let's embrace these. Let's celebrate these. Let's indeed receive these as the Lord's blessing. Let's know that if we are able to share in any of these, that indeed we are deeply and richly blessed by the Lord.